today as we come to the table.
If my focus is getting everything I can out of this world and living for this world and living for me, I'm going to be last in heaven. Why? I've had my reward. I enjoyed all the nice things of this world. Now I'll get to heaven, and the guys who didn't get to enjoy it, now they enjoy it. But here's the difference. I only get like 60, 70, 80 years of it. They get eternity. I start thinking, I think maybe I need to make sure my focus is not so much worried about the gusto I can get out of this life, but denying myself in this life and laying down what I want in this life so that I can invest in the eternal reward that will never go away. I don't want to be the one that gets to heaven and I'm last.
One of the greatest joys in life for toddlers is a nice, warm cup of milk. It's even more refreshing after a nice, long nap. The problem is, sometimes that's all they want. Dinner may be getting close, but their impatience means that the only thing their taste buds will really get to experience is milk. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark teaches that we have natural desires, but often get too impatient for them to be filled in God's timing. Maybe for you, dinner looks like a promotion at your job, but your milk is quitting and finding a job elsewhere. Don't let your fleshly desires be the ruler of your life when God has better things in store for you. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Judges, chapter 14, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Some of you have grapes that you know you're not supposed to be eating, and you're hanging out at the vineyard. Maybe some of you are just like in the vineyard and you're going for it, and God's saying, it's time to leave the vineyard. Some of you are just standing on the sidelines going, well, they can go in the vineyard. Why can't I go in the vineyard? Well, I'm not really doing anything in the vineyard. I'm just kind of watching the vineyard, right? Here's the bottom line. Stay away from anything that can tempt you. Because whenever you get to a place where you shouldn't be, whenever you're hanging out in an area that you shouldn't be hanging out, whenever you put yourself in a position you shouldn't put yourself in, look what happens. A lion came roaring out to devour him. Whenever we put ourselves in a position where the lion can come roaring out to devour us, guess what will eventually happen? The lion will roar out and devour us. Now, Samson, God in his mercy preserves him because God wasn't done with Samson, and God was teaching Samson about his strength and power. No doubt God was going to use this as well, but Samson should have never been there. And here's the bottom line. If Samson had not been in the place where a lion could roar out against him, there would have been no lion that was roaring out against him. It says in what 1 Peter 5:8, Peter giving the same warning, listen, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. And look why he does it. Seeking whom he may devour. Now, God didn't allow him to devour Samson at that moment. But there's going to come a point where the lion is going to come roaring out. That is the spiritual lion, Satan. And Samson's going to get devoured. We're going to see that God gave him chance after chance. And he kept dabbling with the vineyard, so to speak. He kept living in sexual immorality. And finally, Delilah brought him down. We'll get there later on. But the bottom line is, God was warning him and warning him. God protected him. And then the point came where the lion came out and devoured him. Because God, at some point, if we continue to go that route, God allows the enemy more levity. God protects us. I've seen God protect me in certain situations, you know, where I wasn't trying to hang out at the vineyard. You know, maybe suddenly I find myself at the vineyard and I'm not trying to be there. God, I believe, will protect in that situation. But if I start choosing to hang out at the vineyard and just kind of, you know, be around and see what's going to happen in a place where God has told me not to be, I'm just waiting for the lion and I'm waiting to be destroyed. And God is warning some of you, it's time to get away from the vineyard. It's time to flee. It's time to run. Can't put ourselves in a place where the lion can roar out against us. And I also find this interesting here that it says that his parents were traveling with him, but notice although they were traveling with him, it says that Samson went there alone. How do we know that? Look at verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the young lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat. Though he had nothing in his hand, but he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. That shows us very clearly his father and mother weren't there. They didn't know that Samson was at the vineyard, and they didn't realize that he was going directly against God's word. Samson was hiding it. Do you think that Samson knew that vineyard was there? Absolutely. He'd been traveling back and forth to see this little cutie down in Timnah. He probably knew every part of Timnah. Probably had to go by the vineyard to get to her house. He could have easily gone around and gone another direction. But it's interesting to me that we see that his mother and father went with him down to Timnah because they were meeting the families and getting ready to arrange the marriage and all this. But suddenly he separates from mom and dad. How he did it, we don't know. Mom and dad aren't with him. Maybe mom and dad, y'all wait here. I'm going on. Y'all go that way. I'll go this way. Whatever the case, I don't know how he did it. But he specifically planned it so that he could go by the vineyard, probably again indulging in something that he knew was forbidden. And isn't the forbidden fruit sometimes the sweetest until the consequence? And probably grabbing some grapes, doing things. You know, hey, my whole life I haven't been able to eat grapes. I'm just going to do it, you know. And he goes for it, whatever the case might be, which would open up a door to other things that God had kept him away from. And again, for the commitment that God had given him. But Samson here hiding it from his mom and dad, not wanting them to know. And again, when we find ourselves doing things that we're not supposed to be doing, we find ourselves hiding it from others, don't we? Making sure they can't find out, you know, where we've been going online or what shows we've been watching or what friends we've been hanging out with. I mean, you go down the list because we realize that, you know, that we're doing something wrong. You know, I never worry about the police at all unless I'm doing something wrong. Have you ever noticed that? If I see a policeman, I'm driving, I'm fine with them. There's a police, that's nice. But if I'm not paying attention and I'm speeding or something, and I see like one behind me that I didn't recognize or someone, I'm like, you kind of let off. You don't want to hit the brakes because then it's kind of like, okay, you're busted. The lights are on, you're slowing. He knows you're doing, you know, the handbrake, you kind of get, no, don't do that because that'll wear that down. You don't want to do that too much. But you slow down or whatever, and you're hoping they don't pull you over, that nothing happens or whatever, this kind of thing, and you get nervous. Why are you nervous? Because you know you're doing something wrong. And when you're not doing something wrong, you're not nervous. Samson knows he's doing something wrong. And he separates from mom and dad, and while he's in this place again, the lion roars out against him. And God, in his mercy, spares him in this case. And notice this again. It says that, the Spirit of God came mightily upon him. And note this, mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand, but he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. Now again, this is where we need to recognize the different works of the Spirit in our life. And this is where we see one of the works of the Spirit, rather, in Samson's life. And here's what I told you before we're done today. I was going to not only, again, talk to you about compromise, but how to be free from compromise and how to be free from the sin that ensnares you in the midst of compromise. And that is, you need the Holy Spirit to come upon you for power. The Bible says the Holy Spirit works three ways in the believer's life. And we see this, two of those ways in the Old Testament, and we see all three in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, all we see is God with them and God coming upon them for power. That's the two works of the Spirit we find in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we find a third one. We also find God with them and God upon them in the New Testament, like in the Old. But we find a third work of the Spirit, and that is God living inside of us. That is, the Bible says when we give our life to Christ, God comes now because of the cross. He moves literally. His Spirit lives inside of us. And we are indwelt with the Spirit of God. It's not something you have to ask for. It's not something you work for. It is something God gives at the moment of salvation. The Spirit of God comes inside of you, and you are born again. But another work of the Spirit is God being with you. And that is, as a believer, God is there to encourage you. He's there to strengthen you. He's there to help you. He's there to, if you're not a believer, to help draw you to the Lord. So we see the with work of the Holy Spirit. We see the in work of the Holy Spirit, which simply happens at salvation. And what we see happening to Samson right here in verse number 6 is the upon experience or upon work of the Holy Spirit. And that's for power. Every time in the Old Testament, you see the Spirit come upon these men. We'll see it happen to Samson more. When you see the Spirit come upon David and upon these warriors, they're either prophesying or they're going to battle or going to war. In Samson's case, he came upon him and killed a lion with his bare hands. We're going to see later he kills all these Philistines with just the jawbone of a donkey. And he does all these amazing things where he breaks ropes off of his hands. That's what the upon experience is for power. Now, it doesn't mean If you pray today for the Spirit to come upon you, which I'm going to give you an opportunity to do, that you're going to be able to rip lions apart and tear ropes off your hands. Hopefully you won't even find yourself in that situation where you'll need to do that. But the bottom line is it's for power. And some of you've got God with you. He's with you. You've got God in you because you know him. But you've never had God come upon you for power. And the reason you're living a life of compromise, it may not even be by choice, although choice is involved. The reason you're living a life enslaved to sin is because you haven't had God come upon you and give you power to be free so that you can rip the lion apart. That is Satan, that roaring lion who wants to keep you entrapped, enslaved in that sin. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that in just a moment. But I'm going to look at some things pertaining to the power of the Holy Spirit, the empowering of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Spirit came upon them. In the New Testament, it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing. It's the work of the Spirit coming upon the believer, even as he came upon Samson at this moment right here. Peter speaks about it in Acts chapter 2, verse 17 through 18. By the way, Peter, before we read that, you can leave it up there. But before we read that, it's interesting when you look at Peter's life, because Peter, the moments before this happened, the day before, the week before, the moments before this happened, the Bible tells us that they were all hiding in the upper room for fear of the Jews, that the Jews might put them to death. Why? Well, they put Jesus to death. These are Jesus's followers. Maybe they're going to put us to death. And they were afraid. They were cowering in fear behind this door. And then something happened in this moment that we're about to read here in Acts, in their life, that not only did they have a new boldness and power, Peter, who was basically denying the Lord not that long before and listening to chickens, you know, crow, which is pretty much what the life he was living at that point until the Lord came upon him, now stands up in front of thousands of people, many of them who were involved in putting Jesus to death, and he points right at him and said, "You're the ones that killed him, and you need to repent." That's heavy duty. How did he go from being so afraid from one minute to so bold in the next? You know, it wasn't that he took some motivational class or read some self-help book and suddenly got bold. The Spirit of God came upon him and changed his life and gave him boldness and gave him courage and gave him power. And Peter, speaking about that in Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, said this, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on," or we would say upon, "all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on or upon all my men servants, and on or upon my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." So what he's saying is, there is a work of the Spirit that I'm going to be doing all the way through the last days. He was already doing it back here in the days of Samson. He was doing it in the days of the early church. And he says, in the last days as well, I'm going to be pouring this Spirit out and giving people power to be able to follow me. And we need power just to be a Christian, much less the power we need to be a witnessing Christian and a testimonial Christian in the days in which we live. And Peter goes on to say who it's for. Again, he gives, you know, the passage there in Acts. We're not going to read it all. But in Acts 2:39, as they're asking about this and how he can get in, he's telling them how they can also receive power from God. He says, "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off." And this last category is where we fall. "And as many as the Lord our God will call." Have you been called by the Lord this morning? Then the power of the Holy Spirit is available for you this morning. And God wants to give you his power, but you need to ask him and you need to be in the right place to receive that. You know, it's interesting. We said one of the things about the Holy Spirit coming upon us, giving us power, is it's something you have to ask for. Now, can God do it without you asking? I believe that. But it's interesting. When God is with us, we don't ask for that. He just says, "I'll be with you." And he said to his disciples, "I'll be with you and I will be" what? "In you." That's when he moves inside once they receive Christ and the Spirit was given. So now when you give your life to the Lord, you don't have to ask for God to be with you. He is with you. When you give your life to the Lord, you don't have to ask for the Holy Spirit to come inside of you. It automatically happens. He comes inside of you. You can't stop it, which is great. But there is something you do need to ask for. And that is power and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And where do we find that? Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Jesus speaking to his disciples, believers in Christ. He said this, "If you then being evil," that is of the sin nature, was his point, "know how to give good gifts to your children, How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? If this was simply the salvation he experienced, the Lord's talking about, he wouldn't say to those who ask him, you don't have to ask. You never ask for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's a given. It's automatic. So he's obviously speaking about something else here. And the only thing we have to ask for when it comes to the Spirit of God as a believer is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon us for the work of the ministry and also to be set free. Now notice what happens here. We'll talk about that more as we finish. I'm going to get to this last verse, then we're going to give an opportunity to talk about that and pray about that. But listen to what he says. He says he tore this goat apart, didn't tell his parents what he had done. Verse 7, then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. So the sad thing is she did please Samson well, but she didn't please God very well. And that was the problem. And some of you, you're doing what's right in your own eyes and you're pleasing yourself well, but you're not pleasing the Lord. You know, I kind of got a whole new glimpse of that. The first will be last and the last will be first in a brand new and fresh way the other day. Somebody just mentioned that verse and it hit me in a way that I know the first will be last and I know the last will be first, but I guess I'd never specifically focused in on the fact that he was talking to Christians. Talking to Christians. He's not just talking to unbelievers in that passage. He's speaking to believers. And what really struck me about that was what that means is if we as believers are living for me, 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 self, 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 getting everything I can out of this life now, I'm not talking about enjoying life in abundance. That's what God promises. It says he gives us life in abundance. He's given us all things richly to enjoy. There's nothing wrong in that. But if my focus is getting everything I can out of this world and living for this world and living for me, I'm going to be last in heaven. Why? I've had my reward. I enjoyed all the nice things of this world. Now I'll get to heaven and the guys who didn't get to enjoy it, now they enjoy it. But here's the difference. I only get like 60, 70, 80 years of it. They get eternity. I start thinking, I think maybe I need to make sure my focus is not so much worried about the gusto I can get out of this life, but denying myself in this life and laying down what I want in this life so that I can invest in the eternal reward that will never go away. I don't want to be the one that gets to heaven and I'm last. Listen, it's not because I'm wanting to be first. I have no desire for position. I don't know what we'll feel like when we get to heaven, but my personality is not give me a position personality. Some of you guys have it. Nothing wrong in that. God gives us all different personalities, and I'm glad we have people that are seeking after certain positions because they're leaders and they need to lead us, and there's nothing wrong in that. But I am very much not the natural leader. I am a leader because God put a boot behind me and pushed me forward. I saw you guys, and I said, okay, wow, somebody's got to say something. Let's turn to Judges chapter 14. That really is how I view myself when it comes to my walk and my leadership in God, because God has called me to be a leader. I was not born a natural leader, and I don't think that great of a leader now, but I'm being obedient to what God has called me to do. So I don't have this thing about position. So when I think about heaven, I don't think about, yeah, when I get up there, I want to be this, you know, the viceroy of the, I want to be Lord something. Well, that probably wouldn't use that word up there, would they? There's only one Lord, right? Whatever the position is, president this, president that, you know, whatever. I don't really have that desire in my heart because it's not something that's in my very nature because of who I am and how I was raised. So maybe some of you guys are, but here's my point. When I think about laying up treasure for heaven, I think about the first being last and the last being first. Don't think of it in the sense of the position you're going to have in heaven. Think of it as being a wise investor. If somebody tells you, look, you can invest this amount in this and this amount in this, and at the end of 20 years, this will be worth $1 million. At the end of 20 years, this will be worth $100,000. Which one should you invest in? It doesn't take a genius to figure out. And that means a little bit of self-denial. A little bit of not living exactly how I want to so I can please the Lord. A little bit of doing whatever. I'm investing in the eternal that's going to bring much greater rewards. And they're not just rewards down here of cool things here. They're rewards forever in heaven. That's the kind of reward that I want. And I know that's the kind of reward that you want again as well. So what do you do about it? You're living it. But Mark, I'm living in compromise. And I've got sin in my life. I'm not going to have as much reward. Listen. Here's what God wants you to do, and that is, number one, are you living a life of compromise, and are you living a life of captivity? You have to face that question first, and the second thing you have to ask yourself this morning is, do I want to be free from it? Is it something I desire to be free from, or do I not care? If you don't care, there's nothing that God will do for you. You're just going to continue living as you're living. But if you care, God is here in power to change you. You don't have to be desperate and trapped. God will set you free. He will change your life. But how does it happen? By this third work of the Holy Spirit, not the with, not the in, but the upon work of the Spirit. God will give you power to set you free. And not only set you free, he'll give you power to be a witness and call you to do what he's asked you to do for him. He'll give you boldness. But you have to ask him. Now, in the past, what I've said when it comes to this is just ask. And while that's true, the Lord said, how much more will the Father give to those who ask him? You just ask. That's true. But I think there's something else that goes with it, because over the years, I've watched believers who get filled with the Spirit and others who don't. I've been praying for years to be filled with the Spirit. It's never happened to me. You know, we have to, first of all, truly want to repent. We have to have a sincere heart to say, God, I really want you to come upon me and baptize me with your Holy Spirit. I want to be set free. I don't want to be a compromiser. I really want power. I really want to turn from all known sin. Everything I know that I'm doing wrong, I really want to stop it. If we're saying in our heart, well, I'm going to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit today, but I really don't want to move out. I'm living with this girl and we're going to keep living together because I kind of enjoy that life and kind of get the, you know, the benefits of marriage without having all the commitment and responsibility of marriage. And so this is great. I'm going to keep doing this or whatever. Don't expect anything to happen. You'll say the prayer and you'll walk out that back door the same way you walked in the door. Nothing will happen. Whatever sin you're holding on to, if you really don't want to turn from it, God's not going to give you power. But if you turn to God and say, I really want to be free. I desire to not be trapped by this anymore. And I see that you give power. I see the different workings of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. The Bible says you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, that you don't change. Then I need your unchanging power right now. And some of you need that. You need it to be free. And God is going to do that for those of you who really want it. And we're going to pray that God does that. Because I believe that's why God brought this up and really brought this to my attention as we're looking at Samson this week. God wants to set you free, but you've got to truly repent. Turn from what you know is wrong. And you've got to truly and sincerely from your heart desire to have God's power in your life. Do you want that? Let's pray for those of you that want it. Let's ask God to do that. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at Samson's life and we see a life of compromise, we see not only how it damaged Samson and I believe ended his life early and limited what you could do in his life, it also affected others around him. It affected his family. It affected all those that were looking to him for leadership in the nation of Israel. It was devastating, Lord, in many ways. So much more you could have done. And yet there are some of us in here right now that are living lives of compromise. And maybe we don't recognize what it's doing to our spouse and our children or our friends. Maybe we do recognize what it's doing to them. Whatever the case may be, it's causing damage and it's hurting us. And Lord, we recognize it and we're not feeling condemned because we know we're forgiven, but we feel convicted. What do we do, Lord? God, you've told us in your word that we need your Spirit to come upon us. What you called in the New Testament, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's where we find power and the power to walk with God. I thank you that you're with us. I thank you that you're in us. But God, we need you upon us. We need power.
Thank you for joining us today in this interesting passage of Judges. Here on Come to the Table, Pastor Mark Kirk is working his way through this Old Testament book. And there are lessons for us to learn from these people who lived during that time. Samson is one of the last judges mentioned in this book, and he had quite a tale. He was meant to live as a Nazarite, committing himself to the Lord and the Lord's things. But he had a straying eye that led him straight to all the wrong women. He was drawn toward Philistine women, who tricked him more than once, and ultimately led to his downfall. But did you know that God mentioned Samson in the book of Hebrews when he refers to many people who had great faith? When you think of the faith heroes of the Bible, Samson is probably not going to make your short list, right? But in God's eyes, he sees things differently. That should be an encouragement for you today, as you may not see yourself as anything, but God sees you differently and uniquely. He recognizes strengths in you that you may not even be able to observe from your perspective. Keep these things in mind today as you go about the day, whether you feel purposeful in what you're doing or if you're wondering what in the world God is doing. He's there with you, and he is for you, excited to see your faith lived out. That's all for today's teaching, but we invite you to go to thewaymedia.net, where you can be directed to our church's service times. Just click on the Calvary Knoxville link. Once more, our website is thewaymedia.net. We look forward to you joining us again for Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.